every newspaper. Whatever it is, but I discourage it. So he's showing me one article that an Indian married a white woman and he was sentenced to imprisonment for the immorality act. And now, see how it's taken a turn. If you call this immorality, you'll be sentenced. Al-alamu mutaghayyarun. The world is taking a turn all the time. The only thing that is constant is Allah Ta'ala and His law. That is immutable. You can't change it, you can't distort it. So there will be a group that will be totally honest. لَا يَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي قَائِمِينَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ. This group mustn't concern itself with figures and numbers. I was looking in Surah Shu'ara. Allah Pak has counted about 5 Anbiya and each one's message, وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ 5 times. كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ هُودٌ الْمُرْسَلِينَ ثَمُودُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ لُوطٌ الْمُرْسَلِينَ أَصْحَابُ الْأَيْكَةِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And everywhere you'll find وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Then can there be any person better than a Rabbi executing and doing his job? Can't be more polite, more committed, more loyal, more perfect than a Rabbi. With all that perfection, the beauty, the goodness, the kindness of a Rabbi, but then it comes out, مَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُمْ مِنْ. Most of them are not loyal. No iman. فَمَا آمَنَ مِنْ قَوْمِي إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِنْ خَوْفِ فِرْعَوْنَ. So it's not worked so long, but just a handful. وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Nur Islam is working, but just a handful. See that. وَاذْكُرُوا إِذْ كُنْتُمْ قَلِيلًا. And then again, look at it. فَتُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. See, so this group that's going to be working with honesty, loyalty, there'll be few. So don't at all at any time put your sight and your nazar on the numbers. Don't worry about that. That's not the criterion of Allah Ta'ala. Because if you look at the numbers, it's easily going to put you into a depression, or you'll be swinging from one end to the other end. Either depression, or hey, no numbers now. So now what must do? My Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is giving a bayan, 10,000 crowd, 3-hour bayan. As he's entered the bayan, and he's walking out of the masjid, one man crouching on his stick slowly, وہ مولی اسماعیل کا بیان ہونے والا تھا ہو چکا. حضرت اب بیٹھ جائے تقریر بھی ہو جائے گی. Sat down. And the three hour bayan that he gave here, gave to this one single person. جس طرح سے, just as یہاں پر خدا مطلوب ہے, وہاں پر اللہ تعالی مطلوب ہے. جس طرح سے ایک 10,000 سے اللہ تعالی کی خوشنودی حاصل ہو سکتی ہے, تو ایک آدمی سے بھی خوش نصیب ہو سکتی ہے. It's not just with an audience that you get the happiness of Allah Ta'ala. You can get it with one person. With a million person you can get it. But are you dedicated? With the same zeal, with the same fervor, same spirit that is spoken to a 10,000 crowd, speaking to one person. I came across this story and thinking, what a level of iman this man has. That whether it's one person or 10,000 person, it didn't make a difference. So what a level of iman he must have had. And when we see numbers, then we get motivated, driven, spirited. No numbers, ایک آدھی کو لے کر کے کیا کریں گے, جسٹ ٹیک ون پرسن, واٹ ول یو گیٹ آؤٹ آف اٹ؟ سو دیٹس ناٹ دا آئیڈیا. دا آئیڈیا از آئی ڈوئنگ مائی ورک. ما کان علی نبی ان یغل, نبی واز نیور ڈیسپٹیو, نیور ڈس آنےسٹ. ٹاکنگ آف آنےسٹی, نبی واز نیور ڈس آنےسٹ. So you can find Allah Ta'ala in one person, you can find Allah Ta'ala in a million persons, but do you have the same level of diligence, honesty, sincerity? Have you got that sifat? Some years back, so there was one Shaykh al-Hadith that came here. So he's talking to me about the different Shuruhat of Bukhari Sharif, you know, from the old days now, from 2nd century, 3rd century, 4th century, what perfect, what great work were done, right? And but then he tells me what great, superb work they have done, you know. But they didn't get recognition, books didn't come out. What happened here? So I explained to him, Rasul-e-Pak was shown the Anbiya and the following. And the same hadith in Muslim Sharif says, وَالنَّبِيُّ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٌ. He's shown a Nabi and there's no following. So I ask you, is that Nabi in any way deficient? نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. He did the work, end of the story, khalas. He is as good as the one that's got a million following. Why? The actual thing is the command of Allah Ta'ala. Did you execute? Have you executed the word? Executed the word, so everything is acceptable, everything is working, Allah is pleased with you. But you got a million following, but you didn't execute the word of Allah, then you are in problem. Then it's a serious thing. And you flouted my command, and your whole eyes was upon the sight, was upon the numbers. What have you got? It's a camila. What do you get out of this? One Nabi, you see, I never think about this. My mind didn't go here. So alright, send it here now. Now I showed you, so send it. So deen, diyanat ko chahta hai. Deen, what is the essence of deen? The essence of deen is diyanat. And the diyanat is a very high level of honesty. Look at it, in the Jummah khutbahs, Rasulullah would often repeat these words. La deena liman la ahda lahu. Wa la imana liman la amanata lahu. La imana liman la amanata lahu. Wa la deena liman la ahda lahu. Can't keep up to your promises. Promises, pledges, contracts, all come under ahd. Ahd is one word, but ahd means where two people are contracting. So you can call it a contract, call it a promise, call it a pledge, call it a commitment, call it an appointment, whatever. Different type of words. But it amounts to the same thing. I've got a contract, I've got an agreement, I've got a promise, I've got a pledge. So are you truthful? Are you honest in keeping your side of the deal? And this was a very salient, very, very distinct feature in the mutaqaddimin. The feature was honesty. Do we have honesty in this? Brother Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah is coming around the 6th or the 7th century. In that zamana, it was such that after you do your formal studies, you have to do your islah. Because the reasoning was like this, that I've done the kitabi knowledge I've acquired, the academic side I've got. But now, is the spiritual side right? I've got this dimension right, but is the mind right? You know, I've been translating spirit and heart as the mind. That's the easiest way to get to you, right? I will tell what's the heart and the ruh and the nafs and all that. It will be another lecture altogether, right? I think three quarter will not understand. So let's talk about the mind, right? So you got that academic side right. You read it right, you can understand it, you can grasp the contents. You got that right. But did you get the mind right? If you are all this right, but the mind is not right, I ask you, are you going anywhere? You know, about 1980, 79, 80, so I got one Kitab on Hadith. So that, that hadith kitab was such that you just get one word and you get the entire hadith, the quotation, the reference, everything. And then I thought, let me see who's the writer now. He's a French non-Muslim. Non-Muslim French, and did such a perfect job on the hadith around 79-80. This dictionary that is in the madrasa, most madrasas, that were German, non-Muslim, kafir. Backside is all polished, right? But he did a job, we can't do it. But does it make him anyway close to Allah Ta'ala? So this deen requires a very high level of honesty. Otherwise you're wasting your time. It's just in words. We're going just with words. There's no essence to it. So Hazrati will explain this thing here, this whole aspect of deen and what goes with it. What is the essence of deen is diyanat, this honesty. Then an honesty at every level. I imagine for Rasulullah to speak about it so frequently that in every, nearly every khutbah is repeating this, la iman liman la amanat lahu wa la deen liman la ahd lahu, right? Now the sahaba ikram could have said, we heard this story already, now give something new. Like it's become the habit nowadays, let's listen to a new clip. We heard this thing here now, one time, second time, it's enough now. But it's not about how much you heard, how much you've got. You heard the thing, but have you applied the thing, brought it to you? I was looking at tafsir. Alladhina ataynahum al-kitaba yatlunahu haqqa tilawati. Ulaika yu'minuna bih. They recite it as they thought they ought to recite it. What is the meaning of they recite it as they ought to recite it? Because Allah says, "Ulaika yu'minuna bih." These are the true believers. What? Yatlunahu haqqa tilawati. Then he says, "Ulaika yu'minuna bih." These are the mu'mins. What does it mean? Our studies has just gone to an academic level. That's all. How good you can speak Arabic, how you can present yourself, how good you can write that article. So that's our knowledge. So it just became at an academic level. And then when it comes to an academic level, then it is like a body without a life. Bejan. It's a lifeless body. I'm saying it today, but now a little bit of a reflection I'm thinking. Brother Shah Waliullah Sahib said exactly the same thing. That deen, that knowledge of deen, without this mind being right. قَدَ فْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدَ فْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّى. Used a different word, and I'm using it in a different word. Same word, but same essence is the same. He says, كَجَسَدٍ بِلَا رُوحٍ. It's a lifeless body. So this body will gain acceptance, will be attractive, will be looking good, and will be attracting and luring people. It's got life. Because it's got no life in it, then will it attract anybody? So your Islam that has got no life, will it be attractive to anybody? So we all work this on the body. Get the body right, get the body right, get the body right. The lecture must be like this, the kitab must be like this, your presentation must be like this, the jalsa must be like this. So what are we working on? Are you working on the ruh or are we working on the body? The body is important. We will not say that the body isn't important, right? If the body goes wrong, you prepare to pay millions of rands to just fix the body up, heart thing here. One small heart procedure, you go for half a million, 1 million. That doesn't happen. But if that is important, then how much more important is the ruh, is the mind, how to get the mind right? Because the whole base is the mind. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Ask you, who does the niyat? The mind does it. If that thing is wrong, then the whole thing is collapsed. The mind is upset wrong. See that that munafiq is saying, نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. So the body is perfect. قَالُوا إِنَّكَ لَنَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, right? But is the mind right? When the mind is not right, what Allah Pak says? إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. So you see that it's important to make a verbal admission, right? We say iqrar. it's important, right? And more so when you are asked to do it, to make a verbal announcement and to admit that you are a Muslim, it's important when you are asked, right? The discussion on its own, whether to say it verbally is important or not. It's a discussion on its own. But they all agree in agreement that when you are asked to say it, then you must say it. Otherwise, how are we going to differentiate a mu'min from a kafir? If there's no verbal admission of faith, I ask you, can they differentiate a mu'min from a non-Muslim? So when you are asked to say it, you need to say it. But now, because the mind is not right, Allah Pak says, وَاللَّهُ يَشْدُوا إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. They did make an open declaration, but they are munafiq. So you got, say, there's three groups. One is honest, clear. One is dishonest, clear. And one is the one that is swinging in between. لا إله أولاي ولا إله أولا مذبذبين بين ذلك. Swinging around. One more on this side, one more on that side. وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا. One face, we are true mu'min. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِ. When they are with the evil leaders, translating like this, right? وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِ. Say, no, we are with you, don't worry. This side, we are with you. This side, we are with you. Right? So they will give an explanation that in one samana, the nifaq was about, the hypocrisy was about the faith, right? And this hypocrisy is about the amal. Whatever, but it is hypocrisy. Whether it is about the faith or the amal, but it is some level of hypocrisy. One side showing this face, one side showing that face. See, and it's such a dangerous game to play. Such a dangerous game to play. You're devafi, unloyal, right? See the Quran Sharif is saying, هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّنْ فَوْقِكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala can send things from above. Huh? Floods, hurricanes, hailstones, right? Adab from above. Can't they come from above? See the floods come. And people that watched what was going on, say, hey, within minutes I think just turned around. I went here and I turned around. Hey, water was already clear to the chest. And when I went in, it was still about the ankle. And here, I just turned around. Within minutes, Allah changed the whole thing around. You see that? Azabam min fawqikum, or min tahti arjulikum. Fawqikum can have different meanings. The king can go off. Right? His mind can take a turn. He was, all the time he was with you. And Allah Ta'ala just turned his mind in a second, in a moment. Are we all speaking about some Arab leaders and all that? Say, what's gone wrong with them, right? But do you see, in a moment Allah can turn things around. What it was and what it is now. In a moment Allah can turn it around. عَذَابٌ مِّنْ فَوْقِكُمْ. So, unfortunately our mind is on the person, not on the real doer. We'll shout him, we'll sway him, alright. I don't say that what he's doing is wrong, right? What he's doing is right. But do you see that what's bring about this type of circumstance? قَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَيَّبَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّنْ فَوْقِ. You see that? There's a circumstance, there's some halat. But what's bringing about this halat? There must be something that's bringing about this halat. فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَذَرَّعُوا. When our minds have shifted from Allah Ta'ala, and then we keep talking about this person is to be blamed, shifting the blame from one person to the second person to the third person. I ask you, in the doing of this, blaming each other, I'm going to get anywhere. You threw the blame onto him. He threw the blame onto the third and the fourth. I say, are you going to get anywhere? Now, we left the Quranic prescription to our own reasoning. Allah Pak says, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَمْ بَعْسُنَا تَذَرَّوْا. جب تُو نے دیکھ لیا کہ میرا عذاب آ رہا ہے تو تم نے زاری انکساری کیوں نہیں کیا. Why didn't you get into your knees and cry to me? Why didn't you? So he's telling you, what is the cure? One friend is telling me, when he saw the floods, right, and it's happening for the second day or something, so he collected some of his friends, whatever, and went into dua, zikr, Quran Sharif, cried to Allah. in poor setting cleared up. Now you're talking about the floods, rain, then you get the tamasha bin. You see the tamashas, how the ski boats, what's happening here, who's being saved, who's gone to the rooftop, and who's got hypothermia. It's all strange stuff of but jo karne ka kaam tha, we're doing that. What we're supposed to be doing, are we doing that? فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا فَلَوْلَا كَانَتْ قَرْيَةٌ آمَنَتْ فَنَفَعَهَا إِيمَانُهَا إِلَّا قَوْمَ يُونُسْ لَمَّا آمَنُوا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ. Alright, they came a little bit late, but when they realized, they went for it. كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخِزْيِ. And that disgrace, Allah Ta'ala removed it from them. Because they came to their senses, although it was a little bit late, They didn't get into no zone territory. One is you pass that zone where Allah Pak has allowed you. And they didn't get into that zone. They were just there. And in time they came up. فَنَفَعَهَا إِمَانُهَا إِلَّا قَوْمُ يُنُسُ لَمَّا أَمُرُ. They came right. كَشَفْنَاهُمْ. We moved it away. وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَيَّبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّنْ فَوْقِهُمْ. And that azab doesn't have to come in one way, it can come in different ways. Sometimes the leader is not right. Sometimes the boss is not right. Sometimes the husband is not right. Can you see? The one that's above. Azabam min fokim, the boss, the husband, the leader, the ruler, right? You all keep shouting, America, America, Jew, Jew, Jew. But you got anywhere. Shouting the Jew or America, you got anywhere. Azabam min fawqikum o min tahti arjulikum. And the punishment can come from beneath as well. It can come from above. It can come from beneath as well. Someone just takes a turn. And you don't know how it happened. You're shocked to hear about this thing. So a young woman, maybe 18, 19 years of age, she's phoning up. Father was an excellent man. Excellent man. Now he came up of age. Suddenly he found a young girl and he ran away. Now she's a bit grown up now. She was 18 and 19 when this happened. She was about 25 or something. But he just ran away. We could no trace of the man. He found a man, a girl, and he ran away. See, azabam min fawqikum. When he was doing all the other vice, it was fine with you. But when he got a girl, that was not fine. When he was watching television, it was right. Musi got namaz, that was right. Breaking the law of Allah Ta'ala, not keeping a beard, that was right. Not doing his zakat right, it was alright. Not doing his business right, that was alright. But yeah, he was unloyal to us. So unfaithful to his children. That's the main thing, as though your degree, your martaba is greater than Allah Ta'ala also. That's what you are saying. So all the time you are flouting the law of Allah Ta'ala, that was alright. But the moment he was cheating on you, now that became a problem. So all the days that he was cheating on Allah Ta'ala, did you count about that? Did you recognize that? Did you take that to account? Sometimes I think about the last hadith in Bukhari Sharif, one of the old mawazin al-qist. So they give a lengthy explanation, right? The lughwi, whatever meaning, the tashriya they give, right? But then I think of one explanation that the Mu'tarisan has given. Says the verse where you got وُجُوهُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ نَادِيرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَازِرَةٌ, right? You will view Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And you hear about the verse of the ayat of the hadith يَنْزِرُ اللَّهُ كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ فِي ثُلُثِ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ عَلَىٰ سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَقُولُ مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُ هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرِينَ هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرِينَ. Doesn't it happen? So there's a whole discussion there, right? That you say that you can't ascribe to the mujassima, right? One discussion. Then the other discussion, you can't ascribe yourself, subscribe to the mu'attila. Well, the whole discussion comes in. What the meaning of the hadith? So everybody goes. So one group went into that scene, right? They went off. One group into ta'til, they went off, right? And the other group, or the Ahl al-Sunnah, they said, this is, meaning of it is, we understand that Allah Ta'ala is at the sama, the special rahmat of Allah Ta'ala is coming, is very close. Sulusil layl al-akhir, the last portion, Allah Ta'ala's mercy is very close. He said, but in all this commotion and discussion, the most brilliant was the Sufi. But he left the discussion and said, alright, from this hadith what we understand, that Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is closest now. So now we must exploit it then. Now we're going through the discussion now. Did you get anything out of it? Selling butter, yeah. He said, yeah. You know, Woolworths got it at this price. He said, no, Clover got it at that price. So now this one got, the discussion is carrying on, arguing for 10 days. The Sufi came and said, hey, alright, no, I think what you're saying is right. Quietly he went to Clover Days, he got that thing. And you're still discussing. Meanwhile, the sale is over. Which fayda hua? So who was the brilliant person? Who was the brilliant person? So alright, this is an opportunity. That opportunity needs to be exploited. So in this hadith that Imam Bukhari brings about at the end, right? نَدَعُ مَوَازِينَ قِسْتَ الْيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. So the point of justice we left out completely. That how much justice, how just are we? We're talking about عَلَىٰ أَيَّبْعَثَ عَذَابًا مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِن تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ, right? So when the husband cheated, then you took it so seriously, it was unfair. But all the time that he was unfair to Allah Ta'ala, did you take cognizance of that? أَوْ مِن تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ. That azab can come also from beneath. Sometimes it's an earthquake, right? Volcanic or eruption, right? From beneath it can come. Sometimes it can come from the children, it can come from the wife. I remember, you know, you say from beneath, punishment can come. One very, very wealthy person came here, very, very wealthy person, professional person, extremely wealthy. He came here. They come here to cry. They don't come for deed. They come to cry, all the whatever stories they want to come to cry. They came, I saw here some cashier. So he took out his glass. You want to see this? Yeah. So what happened? Why? He said, you know, all I told my child, you know, the matric exams are nearby. Do something, please. And he said, hey, you will come and interfere in my private life. Bashed him up. Deep gas here. Azabam min tahti arjulikum. See that azab can come from beneath. It can come from above, it can come from beneath. Now what we are looking at now, everything is going smoothly, so the life will be smooth. But at any time it can turn. And, oh, I am an exception, it won't happen to me. My children won't do this to me. Don't you see this happening all the time? The partnership is running so well. And 20 years into the partnership, and you see big numbers, and then children come into the scene, and then what happens? The whole thing is changed. Azaba min fawqikum min tahti arjulikum. Don't you see these things all the time? The factory is running so well, and then suddenly it just takes a turn. Everything is just collapsing and failing. Everything was working out so well. If all that is right, then the health is just deteriorating. The health was so right, everything was going so well, and suddenly cancer, third degree, fourth degree, everything is just collapsing, everything is failing. Don't you hear about these things here? أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا. Allah Ta'ala can punish in different ways. He can divide you and then let you clash with each other. أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا. Tukre tukre karke bhira de tum. He'll separate you, divide you, and then let you clash with each other. Doesn't it happen? We have such a relationship now, we can't see eye to eye. Can't even talk to each other. You see that? قَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَيَّبَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِن تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ. What we started off with is the aspect of Diyanat. And I said Diyanat is a technical word, right? But just for our ease and purposes, I'm translating it as a very high level of honesty. Very high level of honesty. This honesty is so much emphasized that in the khutbah, Rabbi is repeating this: La imana liman la amanata lahu, wa la deena liman la ahada lahu. No iman you got. You got no deen. You don't keep to your contracts, agreements, your promises, your pledges. No deen you have got. And he's repeating it in the khutbah. So there must have been a reason why Rasulullah is often repeating it so often. And then we don't consider it as a serious thing any longer. This deen, this amanat can come to the simplest of person and can leave the greatest of people. Simplest of person, simple thinking, and it can come into his life. One engineer, sometime back he came here, with his computers and all the started, you know, computers, phones, all the WhatsApp, all the type of things. Some years ago he came. So he tells me, you know, I'm working for this company, earn big money. 4.5 days a week I work, very big money I'm earning at that time now. At least 200,000, 300,000 I was earning at that time. He says, but sometimes I play on my computer or something, or I'm messaging someone, I'm phoning someone in my boss's time. Is that the right thing or not the right thing? So it shook me up for that moment. I said, yes, man, outwardly he doesn't seem to be a deendar person, but he's got deen, he's got the essence of deen. What prompted him to ask this type of a question? Then I just to ask him, just to quiz him a little bit, what makes you ask this type of a question? I wanted to see the level of honesty that's deep down his heart. He says to me, you see, I have given this time to the company for this remuneration, this package, so the time doesn't belong to me. The time belongs to the company. I'm getting this package as a remuneration. So if I phoned at that time or I used my computer at that time, as though I stole the company's wealth, because now the time belongs to him. The time against remuneration. Now if I did my own personal thing at that time, what was not discussed, that means I stole in his time. But now see, it's an ordinary person, doesn't have the knowledge, detailed knowledge of deen. But when he's got that level of honesty, see how his mind will think. His mind will think different. Our Mustafa rahmatullah alayhi, in Sahanpur after the Jummah. See this honesty. Now he's a mufti, he knows Masail. Now his conscience is affecting him that I need to do something for the public here. Because, alright, most of you didn't see how it works in India, right? So on a Friday, people from all the neighboring villages, etc., they will come to the center to read the Jummah Namaz and they're leaving. So now, these people need to be educated. So I'll have a sitting, people want to benefit, they can benefit. So his conscience, see that amanat where it takes him. What have I done for the surrounding? لِتُنْذِرَ أُمَّ الْقُرَىٰ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا. What have I done for them? مَنْ حَوْلَهَا. So this is what I can do. You know, after the Jummah, give them 1 hour, see what I can do for them. Then the whole of Sahanpur at that time had about 40 or 50 masjids in his time, when he was teaching in Sahanpur. He said, there wasn't a masjid that I didn't cover. With all the basic namaz, taharat, and the type of business that they were running, I explained all the masail. He's a farmer, he's a businessman, he's a cloth merchant, whatever they required, that 40-50 masjid I covered in the whole of Sahanpur. But you see this, this can only happen if you got that level of honesty, deep-rooted honesty, that I've got that knowledge, and these people are thirsty, am I providing it? What are we providing, aren't we? When I was studying with Junaid, you know, we did some small charitable work. We make such a big noise about it. We did so much, 10,000, 30,000, 40,000 liters a year. We did. I don't say it's great. I don't say it's insignificant. It's great, right? Allah Ta'ala rewards those people that have done it. But did we look at the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala and the extent of the generosity of Allah Ta'ala? See, as we stand, the earth has got about 8 or 8.5 billion population, right? So say the least amount of water each person is using is about, say, 10 liters, least amount, right? It's much more. So you are rounding up with approximately 100 billion liters of water every day, only human use. Basic, that is. That's beside the people that are playing around the swimming pools, in the dams, having a shower, 50 liters, having just basic, right? 100 billion liters Allah Pak is providing every day. That is only for the human life. animal life, insect life, bird life, plant life, industry, etc. You know, if you add the whole thing up, it will come to approximately 1 trillion liters of water every day. Allah Pak is providing. And we don't talk about it. We did 10,000, hey, you know what I did? What our masjid did? Talimuddin, what he did? And the taps open here, people are queuing up. How much we did? But did we reflect at the generosity of Allah Ta'ala, what he did, what he's doing? Every day, nobody talks about it. Do you ever think about it? 1 trillion liters he's providing every day, internationally, whole world, whole globe. Do you ever talk about it? أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. And then, مَاءً بِقَدَرِ. Look at the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Branching a little bit. We'll come back again, right? But just, I like to talk about the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. We recognize Allah Ta'ala. Because the plot of the shayateen is to delete Allah Ta'ala from the equation. Delete Allah Ta'ala, delete Qiyamah. That is the whole plot. So the more you talk about Allah Ta'ala, recognizing Allah Ta'ala, and that conviction comes, that is the need of the time. You know what? You're doing amal, but you're deleting Allah Ta'ala. You're deleting the day of Qiyamah. So then there's no meaning to life. Then there's no Allah Ta'ala, is there any meaning? There's no day of Qiyamah, no day of remuneration. I say, is there any meaning to life? As you come and work for Talimuddin, you ask me, what is my package like? I just work, don't worry about the remuneration. You'll work. Huh? I say, open up a shop. How much price is it? Hey, just let them take everything, man. Is there any point opening up the shop? Huh? You're playing a football, children, right? There's no goals there, no palace there, right? Is there any meaning to the sport? So there must be a goal. That goal is the akhirah. You got that goal in your mind, there is an effort, there is a work, there is a strategy, there is a strive. No goal, what's the need to drive? What's the need to work? Is there any need? So these enemies of Allah Ta'ala have deleted the whole Qiyamah, whole Allah Ta'ala's concept, whole taking it out. So I ask you then, will there be any meaning to life? No meaning to life then. So the more this is emphasized, now I don't think any time in human history was so important. Like you talk about it now. You know? See, in the day of the Ashabul Kahf, they also lost the plot, not talking about Qiyamah. So Allah Ta'ala made this happen. To reconscientize them by this, that Qiyamah is a reality. وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. Doesn't he say that? السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. He made it happen just to make them understand. There is a thing like Qiyamah. Bhai, wake up now. So if you're going to be thinking, right, I'm going to perform my namaz, I'll get this sawab, I'm going to be dishonest, this will be the problem, right? So there's going to be a goal for you, there's going to be a deterrent for you. No goal or no deterrent, anything to motivate you, anything to put the brakes in. So we're talking of water, right? We think we did something, right? It was significant, Allah Pak reward everybody, whoever did what, whatever they did, Allah Pak reward them. We are human already, obviously there's no comparison between the makhluk and the khaliq. Khaliq, is beyond human comprehension to understand the extent of the glory of Allah Ta'ala. It's beyond. So look at the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala just in the water, right? Ma'am bi qadarin. Measured. This amount of water I'm going to send. That in itself is a blessing of Allah Ta'ala. Imagine just for a moment, Allah Ta'ala sent it in unlimited quantity, all the water requirement of your life was sent in one go. Allah Ta'ala sent it. Would you be able to preserve that water? Huh? The 10,000 liters won't work, by you got by your house, 10,000, 5,000, it won't work. So much, your whole life requirement of water was sent to you in one go. It would have been a problem to look after that water. Ma'am bi khadar. So he sent it. With his wisdom, he sent it in limited account amount, that you can preserve the thing, drink, enjoy. فَأَسْكَنَّاهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then we send it down into the earth, seeing what's happening next door, isn't it? It's where? Rich water. Huh? Nothing yet. Alright. فَأَسْكَنَّاهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So then, after sending it down, then he made the arrangements for its preservation. Much of the water is preserved in the underground streams, boring and taking it out, digging wells and taking it out, aren't you? Then, on the surface streams, rivers, lakes, dams, what is getting stored there, right? Don't you see that? Huh? Ponds, right? Then in the glaciers, together, you know, Iceland, all that, glaciers and glaciers. Sometimes, one person was telling me, that sometimes like so much, so thick and such, so massive glaciers, like one continent, so much of water is iced up. And then Allah Pak with His Qudrat, He allows that thing to melt and reach you gracefully. There's so much of tartib and so much of intizam and tadbeer in the work of Allah Ta'ala, and then you talk about a big bang. Bhai, zehn, ye dimag ke dushman hai. There's so much of tartib, tadbeer, yudabbirul amr. And then you talk about just a sudden explosion, everything just came right. Bhai, really something's wrong, right? وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ ذَهَابٍ بِهِ لَقَادِرُونَ. In a second, Allah Ta'ala can drain the thing or finish, gone, cast, disappeared. أَرَأَيْتُمْ مِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَعَوْكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينَ. He allows the water to sink into a lowest level. Who will bring it out again? Right? You keep fetching your water at 60 meters, 70 meters, say 80 meters max, right? Or I say 100 meters. But he allows that thing to sink into 300 meters down. Who's going to bring it out for you? Do you think of the Qudrat of Allah, what you are enjoying all the time? Do you recognize Him? Say, at least say, Allahu Rabbul Alameen. Say, Amanna bihi wa alayhi tawakkalna. We believe in Him, we trust in Him. He's talking to you so much of His Qudrat, of His Azmat, of His glory, His grace. Do we recognize? Do we appreciate? Do we talk about it? Talk about these things before our children. So we're talking about that story of Diyanat. I say sometimes these villages, these simple people, they overtake us. Really. We think now we are smart because of knowledge. But these people overtake us. So I was talking about the Musa rahmatullahi and the Amanat, right? So he would have a sitting on a Friday after Jummah. All these people are coming from the neighboring towns or villages. He's got a session. Al-Mawla Sayyid Khan Sahib rahmatullahi, that's how he started. Musa used to have this session here. He used to come, he took a liking, was colleging. One thing led to the other, then he became the Amir of the Arab countries. But which was, what is his beginning? See, when you got that Amanat in you, and one person of yours can become a diamond. Just one person. So one villager is asking Musa rahmatullahi, Hazrat, mera chota bhai hai. It's about a 20-year difference, right? Between me and my small brother. Now he's about 14, 15. So he was the last born, I'm the first born. But now my wife brought him up, you know. He was small, napkins, everything. So my wife, so there's a level of informality and casual relationship. So now they're joking, they talk with each other freely, and sometimes they may be hitting a five or so. Right? And she says, mera bachcha hi hai. He's my child. So Ustab is trying to quiz him, you know, that was his style. He wants to know now, this villager, is he true? Does he know what he's talking? He just heard something here and there, he just come in passing it here. He must know what his mind is like, so he can give an answer accordingly. So now in his own village style, see, village style, but I see he's got that amanat deep in his heart, rooted. So he says to Musa, Na Mufti ji, na, malum nahi kab current lag jaye. Casual now, the informal, but when the current will strike, you know, then there's no age restriction. You won't say now 20 years younger and smaller and older, don't say that. Then one thing will lead to the other, and then after the accident, then you open your eyes. But you see, this person has got that quality, that aspect of amanat, deep rooted. He may be in the fields, but he hasn't lost that amanat in his heart. That sense that Allah Pak is watching, the conscience of Allah Ta'ala. I'm here, I'm at this position here, I haven't lost the conscience of Allah Ta'ala. And anything can strike at any time. So in your domestic life, amanat, diyanat, right? In your business life, amanat and diyanat, right? Rasulullah Pasim is walking into a marketplace and he sees a heap of grains. The top layer is dry. He thrusts his Mubarak hands inside and it's moist. What happened, why? No, it rained last night. So the moist I put inside, the dry I left it outside. Man rashana falisa minna. You cheat us, not of us. Sufyan Sawri rahmatullah says, you don't explain this hadith laysa kamislina. Don't say it like that, because you're robbing the hadith of the essence. See, you're not like us, you're not of us. That's the actual meaning, that's the actual translation. Don't say like, although the muhaddiseen will explain it this way, but say, I don't like this explanation. Laysa minna, you're not of us. Imagine you coming on the day of Qiyamah for reckoning, and Rasulullah says, you're not of us, get off. You go, you go. What would be our position then? You got the heaps of the wealth, and you felt because I got the heap, now I'm scoring well. But he's saying, no, but you're not of us, bhai. Get out. How do you feel? See this consciousness, this amanat. Allah grant us.